Big moments or small moments, they all deserve great style.
Our over 800 stylists are here to help you look and feel your best. Visit your local Marisa's to find fashion fit for you with a little help from us.
What does possibility mean to you?
That's a hard question.
Something that you can strive for.
That I'm able to do anything I set my mind to.
You're confident in yourself and you believe in yourself. Stuff that you could achieve.
I feel excited. Anything is possible when you're more confident.
Shoes are a huge part of that. They are the most important part of my style.
You can like express yourself
in the right shoes.
Anything is possible.
DSW, countless shoes at bragworthy prices. Imagine the possibilities.
Honestly, I wasn't sure we could pull this off ourselves.
You had the vision, and Blinds.com brought your dreams to life.
Yeah, their custom window treatments and free design consultation. Total game changer. Ava walked us through everything. Styles, colors, what would work best in this space.
And we didn't have to leave the house. Free samples showed up fast, and they made it super easy to compare and choose.
Right? Plus, no high-pressure sales pitch, just smart guidance. And the install? I thought it'd be tricky. But Blinds.com instructions were clear. Everything fits perfectly.
And thanks to their SureFit guarantee, if something doesn't fit, they remake it for free. Talk about peace of mind.
And it costs way less than having a designer to our house or going to one of those overpriced showrooms.
We saved money, got the exact look we wanted, and we did it ourselves.
We did it.
So, kitchen windows next?
Blinds.com makes buying and installing window treatments easy and affordable because nobody covers windows better than Blinds.com. Visit Blinds.com now for up to 50% off with minimum purchase, plus a professional measure at no cost. Rules and restrictions apply.
We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature. Whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to, or the succulents that adorn our homes, nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With AllTrails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently. With offline maps and on-trail navigation, download the free app today.
Here's a good idea. Have a point. It makes it so much more interesting for the listener.
And welcome to At Your Service. Brad Young in with you this evening until 10 o'clock. Hey, thanks so much for being here. I never, ever take that for granted. And you've heard me say this before, but from my perspective, At Your Service means that we get to talk, not just me talking to you, but this is a two-way street. So we've got an interview set up this evening for 8:20 to 8:30. But otherwise, the phone lines will be open all evening, 314-436-7900. You can call or text, and I read all texts except those that violate FCC regulations. And, you know, a couple of weeks ago, we had two callers in a row who were violating FCC regulations. But it's nothing to fear. Matt Pajeski is at the board and will make sure to keep your ears pristine and pure as the wind-driven snow. So it will not harm your ears this evening. You know, the biggest frustration I have with doing a show once a week is that stuff happens and I have to wait a couple of days to talk about it. I got to tell you, that's the biggest frustration. So we all know about the Trump raid, or the raid on Trump's house in Florida. And we heard from Attorney General Merrick Garland today, and I'll get into the legalities of this later. And you know, listen, I'm an attorney, my law firm here, Harris, Dowell, Fisher & Young. I get to provide you with legal analysis, and it doesn't even cost you $350 an hour. It's gratis. So, and it's even better if you're listening on the Odyssey app. So make sure that you download the Odyssey app. Hear it anytime, anywhere you are. I was on vacation a couple of weeks ago in Europe. I had the Odyssey app with me. I was listening to KMOX in Germany. So you can listen to it anywhere you are. But we all know that his safe, to me, this was the biggest news about the raid on Trump's house. Not the biggest legal news, because I'll get into that as the show unfolds. But the biggest interesting news was that he had a safe that apparently was forcibly opened by the FBI. Well, this is breaking news. I didn't hear it on CBS. I didn't hear it from Sean, Michael, Lyle either. So, but I'm going to give you some breaking news because we've just heard some of the things that were in the safe. Now, I got to tell you, this has not been confirmed yet, so we'll have to wait and see if this is confirmed for CBS News. But one of the things that was found in the safe was thousands of McDonald's receipts going back to 1994. They were in there with all of his Diet Coke and Big Macs and all of those. They were all in that safe. Now, this was a huge safe, so there's a lot of things in there, including... And I don't know who gave this to him, but apparently Trump had world's best president mug that he kept in the safe. I don't know why. If you've got a coffee mug in the safe, I don't understand how you can use it. But apparently he had it in there. The other thing, now to me, this is what's going to be breaking the news tomorrow, is that also found in Trump's safe was apparently Obama's actual birth certificate. That he had been holding on to this thing for apparently like 7 years. And I didn't even know this was true, but he was actually born in Mount Vernon, Illinois. I had no idea that Obama was actually born in Mount Vernon, Illinois. So we'll be looking at that, I'm sure, in the days to come. The other thing that was in there, two more things, and then we've unfortunately got to skip the frivolity, but he actually took the real nuclear codes with him, and he just gave Biden some fake ones. So that way you don't have to worry when you see Biden coughing and not knowing where he is. He can't put his jacket on without Jill helping him. It's okay. He doesn't have the nuclear codes because Trump had them in the safe. So it's not a problem. And the other thing that was in there was he had over 1 million unsent tweets that he would just store on a flash drive in his safe. So I don't know if any of this is going to be, you know, tested by the news in the coming days, but we'll have to wait and see how that plays out. One of the other things, and I've been covering this story for probably a year or a year and a half, has been this issue. And I think as an attorney, to me, it's upsetting when freedom of speech is squelched. It doesn't matter if you disagree with it. It doesn't matter if you don't like it. That's the whole idea of the marketplace of ideas. And one of the greatest of those stories has been the initial theory about the Wuhan virus, the coronavirus, was that it came out of a lab. It was leaked out of a lab. Well, social media companies were literally censoring that story. If you said it, you got put in social media timeout, and the White House was cooperating. And you've heard me say right here on the 50,000 Red Hot Watts many times that while that may not violate the First Amendment, it should if the White House is colluding and directing these tech companies to violate your free speech rights. Well, Eric Schmidt filed a lawsuit in May. He got past a motion to dismiss on various grounds, and the judge, as recently as 2 weeks ago, took some more action. So joining us after the break will be Cornell University law professor William Jacobson. He runs a website called legalinsurrection.com. I go to it every single day, and he's going to talk to us about the constitutional issues that are involved when you've got the government directing tech companies on what to do and how to say it and what they can say and what they can't say and whether that violates the First Amendment. We've got lots of other things here on the show this evening. I hope you'll stick around till 10 o'clock. We'll be back with Professor Jacobson right after this on 1120 KMOX.
Big moments or small moments, they all deserve great style.
Our over 800 stylists are here to help you look and feel your best. Visit your local Maurice's to find fashion fit for you with a little help from us.
What does possibility mean to you?
That's a hard question.
Something that you can strive for.
That I'm able to do anything I set my mind to.
You're confident in yourself and you believe in yourself.
Stuff that you could achieve.
I feel excited. Anything is possible when you're more confident.
Shoes are a huge part of that. They are the most important part of my style.
You can, like, express yourself
in the right shoes. Anything is possible.
DSW, countless shoes at bragworthy prices. Imagine the possibilities.
Honestly, I wasn't sure we could pull this off ourselves.
You had the vision, and Blinds.com brought your dreams to life.
Yeah, their custom window treatments and free design consultation. Total game changer. Ava walked us through everything. Styles, colors, what would work best in this space.
And we didn't have to leave the house. Free samples showed up fast, and they made it super easy to compare and choose.
Right? Plus, no high-pressure sales pitch, just smart guidance. And the install? I thought it'd be tricky, but Blinds.com instructions were clear. Everything fits perfectly.
And thanks to their SureFit guarantee, if something doesn't fit, they remake it for free. Talk about peace of mind.
And it costs way less than having a designer to our house or going to one of those overpriced showrooms.
We saved money, got the exact look we wanted, and we did it ourselves.
We did it.
So, kitchen windows next?
Blinds.com makes buying and installing window treatments easy and affordable because nobody covers windows better than Blinds.com. Visit Blinds.com now for up to 50% off with minimum purchase plus a professional measure at no cost. Rules and restrictions apply.
Epic views, waterfall mists, summit sunsets. It's all better outside. And with AllTrails, you can discover the best of nature with over 450,000 trails around the world. Download the free app today and find your next adventure.
Fun fact, you can't get pregnant every day. You're only fertile for 6 days, ovulation day and the 5 days leading up to it. Natural Cycles is the only birth control app that can pinpoint your fertile window by analyzing your hormone-driven temperature trends. It's more than just a basic cycle tracking app. Natural Cycles is the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app and has helped millions prevent and plan for pregnancy naturally. Save 15% when you sign up today with code RADIO15. Learn more at naturalcycles.com.
Welcome back to KMOX. Back in May, and you heard me talk about it when this was filed, but Missouri Attorney General Eric Schmidt, he filed a lawsuit against top-ranking Biden administration officials for allegedly colluding to suppress freedom of speech. But the question is, what are the constitutional issues that are underlying this lawsuit, and what could it mean for big tech companies? So joining us this evening is Cornell University School of Law Professor William Jacobson. He's founder of the website legalinsurrection.com. It's a website that I literally go to multiple times every single day. It's one of my favorite websites. Professor Jacobson, hey, thanks for joining us again here on KMOX.
Thanks for having me on again.
Let's start with some foundational principles. The First Amendment, we all know, protects free speech, but that doesn't apply to private companies, does it?
No, generally not. It does not apply unless they somehow have voluntarily agreed to abide by that, which a lot of universities have. A lot of universities have policies and principles that mirror the First Amendment. But generally speaking, no. The First Amendment prevents the government from interfering with your speech and, you know, your free speech. So, no, generally speaking, it doesn't. And that's the issue with a lot of social media censoring that goes on. People say, hey, private company, nothing you can do about it. They're entitled to, you know, do what they want on their own platform. So generally speaking, no, it doesn't apply.
Right. And my law firm, which is right here in St. Louis, if I've got an employee who, and of course, there are lots of issues in an employment situation with regarding to pertaining to potential union activities or union busting activities or wage and hour issues. But if an employee says something that's outrageous, I can fire them for that. And the First Amendment doesn't protect an individual from that kind of action, generally speaking, correct?
Correct.
Okay. I wanted to lay that out because we're moving into a different territory. I mean, over the past, I guess, 18 months or so, we've seen something new, and that is members of the Biden administration who are actually instructing tech companies on what subjects the tech companies need to restrict free speech on, like issues such as the Hunter Biden laptop story or stories about the origins of the COVID-19 virus in China or even the effectiveness of vaccines or masks. So what is the constitutional problem, Professor Jacobson, when the government colludes with private companies to restrict free speech?
Well, the issue would be, is the private company now acting as essentially the government? is if the government tells a private company to restrict speech, then it's no longer private conduct. It's arguably, it would depend on the facts, but it arguably is now government conduct. And that's one of the issues that's hotly contested, is whether the Biden administration has been instructing various private platforms to censor speech. And does that now become government conduct such that the First Amendment would apply?
And haven't we seen this? I always like to look at different areas of the law to look for examples or metaphors. And haven't we seen this in the past? Like, for example, with mafia cases or with organized crime cases, where the government gets an agent and sends them in. One of the defenses against whatever that agent who goes in, even if they may be a member of the inner circle of the organized crime unit, they could be acting under what's called color of law. And in those situations, and of course there's a million examples of that or a million ways that that may not work, but isn't that also generally a situation where if someone is acting at the behest of the government, then the rules that apply to the government, they apply to that individual?
That's right. I don't know if it's, you know, a perfect analogy, but it's certainly a good one, that when you're acting on behalf of the government, you are now the government for, you know, constitutional privilege purposes, for constitutional protections purposes. So that's, you know, that is, you know, definitely an issue.
Well, and when we talk going back to this issue of collusion between the White House and tech companies, I mean, this isn't just an academic hypothetical. I mean, I got this quote from Jen Psaki when she was then the White House spokesperson. And this is the quote that she said: "We are in regular touch with the social media platforms, and those engagements typically happen through members of our senior staff. We're flagging problematic posts for Facebook that spread disinformation. We engage them regularly, and they certainly understand what our requests are," unquote. That's almost Exhibit A of collusion, isn't it, Professor?
Well, it is, and it could be direction, and that's something that's going to have to be found out. How far did it go? Was it just a nod and a wink on a press conference, or... Was she being truthful when she said we're telling them what we expect of them?
And you mentioned something. That's something that's going to have to be discovered. We're talking to law professor William Jacobson, founder of the website LegalInsurrection.com. And when you talk about this is something we're going to have to find, this is the reason why I wanted to have you on the show this evening, because in late July, there was a judge, a federal judge, overseeing the case. That judge granted Missouri's request for an expedited discovery. So discovery is a big word. What does that mean? And how does this show or demonstrate that this litigation has, I wouldn't say necessarily a high likelihood, but it has a likelihood of success on the merits because of what the judge did in July?
Yeah, well, Missouri and Louisiana sued the Biden administration and sued some of the major platforms, social media and high-tech platforms, alleging that their citizens' First Amendment rights were being restricted because the platforms were acting at the direction of the Biden administration. And they sought an injunction, and there's going to be an injunction hearing. I don't know if the date's been set, but it's not on a super fast track. And what they asked for is, before we go to the hearing, we want to take discovery. And discovery in the court context means you get to take testimony from people. You get to subpoena information. You get to ask written questions and have them answered. So you get to use all the different tools that to find out, to discover what has happened. And that is huge, because under the judge's order, and we don't know how far it will go because they're going to have to serve requests, these two states get expedited discovery in advance of the hearing. So they're going to be able to identify who is communicating with the Biden administration from these platforms, who in the Biden administration was communicating with them, what emails are there, what text messages are there, what other things are there. And obviously the hope in these sort of things is that somebody perhaps never thinking this would get to court, says something in an email or a text message that, yep. as they say, says the quiet part out loud. Okay. You know, and that's what you hope. But I think it's going to be a high bar to reach. If it's just a nod and a wink, if it's just, hey, we agree with the Biden administration that what's going on is bad, et cetera. I don't think that's going to be it. You're going to have to find something more. You're going to have to some sort of direction, some sort of perhaps implied or explicit threat that the government might take action if these platforms don't crack down. So I think we don't know what's going to be there, but I don't think it would be way premature to declare victory at this point.
Oh, sure.
You can say, and I think your attorney general, who I think is running for governor.
Running for the Senate. He just won the Republican Senate primary, right. and he's probably going to be the next junior senator from Missouri.
Yep. I knew that. At Senate, the way he put it when this ruling came down was, we finally get to look under the hood. And that's what's extraordinary, because no one's gotten to look under the hood. We don't know what goes on at Twitter and Facebook and Instagram and all those other places, because there's no way to know. It's a private company. So now those states are going to get to look under the hood. They may find a lot, or they may not find a lot, because maybe people were smart enough not to put it in writing. They will get to take testimony. So even if it's not in writing, they can ask people. But obviously, if there's a text message or an email, that would be best.
Yes. Have you ever heard of a lawsuit like this ever before?
Well, I think there have been a lot of lawsuits by people getting kicked off these platforms. And I think they've generally been unsuccessful unless you can show that the platform itself is not honoring its user agreement.
Right.
So, you know, and the few that have been either successful or settled, I think there was Alex Berenson, a guy who was who contested some of the COVID information that was out there and was kicked off Twitter, did sue. Did manage to keep the lawsuit alive, and then they settled and they let him back in. I don't know if there were any other terms. Those aren't public, but he's back on Twitter. And so I think his argument in court was that they did not apply their own user agreement properly, that what I did not fall under their user agreement as, information. Or something to get me suspended. So, but generally speaking, these lawsuits are not successful because these are private platforms.
Right, but there's never been a lawsuit that I know of where someone has sued alleging that the federal government has been colluding with tech companies. To me, that's a novel strategy.
Yeah, I don't know whether any of these private individual lawsuits have alleged that in terms of a First Amendment, but you have to have some evidence. And the two states, I think, did a pretty credible job in their pleadings at laying out at least what's publicly available, including that famous statement from Jen Psaki and some other things. And, you know, sometimes you just have to get the right judge. I mean, as much as we'd like to say it's always consistent, it's not. I mean, you have to get a judge who says, okay, I'll let you take some discovery. And so another judge might have ruled differently, but those discovery decisions are not the sort of thing an appeals court normally would get involved in. They would leave that to the trial court.
Good point. We're talking to Cornell Law Professor William Jacobson from LegalInsurrection.com. And before we go, Professor, tell us a little bit about LegalInsurrection.com and what kind of information you provide on there, because it's truly, truly unique.
I would say it's a politics and law blog. So most of what we cover is politics, but I think our specialty is the overlap between politics and law. And there's plenty of that. All the stuff that's going on in Florida now with the raid on Mar-a-Lago, that's the sort of stuff we cover. It's law, but it's politics. And so that's really it. We publish, you know, almost around the clock. I'm not sure we're the fastest to get stuff out there, but we're pretty good. And we've been doing this now for almost 14 years.
Amazing.
And we have a good reach, I hope a good reputation.
You do. And as I said earlier, you have my eyeballs on your website every single day and almost more than once, usually more than once, because I always want to see when you update the news articles, because that convergence of law and politics is a passionate subject of mine. So, Professor Jacobson, thanks for joining us again here on Camel X. And as this lawsuit moves forward and some information comes out, we'll probably check back with you again.
Great. Thank you very much. Take care.
Thanks for your time, sir. Hey, when we come back from the break, we're going to cover this a little bit more and, of course, other news of the day. But does that bother you? What does it give you any concern when the government is instructing tech companies on ways to restrict your free speech? I mean, let me ask you this. If the White House spokesperson stood at her podium and repeatedly demanded that private booksellers burn only certain books that the federal government doesn't like, or else face grave legal consequences, wouldn't you see that as a First Amendment problem? And to me, this is no different. What are your thoughts? 314-436-7900. At your service. Don't go away. We're not talking about anything of any substance this evening, just First Amendment rights, just the government colluding with billion-dollar corporations to stop your free speech. You know, nothing big, nothing important. Ha, Brad Young here with you on At Your Service. And Lee called up during the break. Hey, Lee, welcome to Camel X.
Thank you very much for taking my call.
My pleasure.
I am a public school teacher of some 35 years.
Thank you, sir.
Currently 74 years young, not like your name.
Well, see, I'll always be young.
Well, that's true. So will I. Then. My father said you count backwards when you hit 39.
Oh, well, my wife does the same thing, but go ahead.
Anyway, I was just wondering if I had any rights as a public school teacher and if I was mandated to report bruises on a child that I seen in school as a state law.
Yeah, that is an interesting idea. There are limitations on teachers in school. And for example, and I know this is not what you're calling about, but there are some limitations on what teachers can or cannot say during the school day. But there's no limitations from a speech perspective outside of the school. So there are some restrictions, but they're not complete. Now, when it comes to those mandatory reporting, I do know that that is mandated by state law. And I'm not aware of any challenges, Lee, to those statutes, those mandatory reporting statutes, because that's not something that you have the freedom to do. In other words, if you see a bruise on a student, it is within the purview of the legislature to mandate that you report those bruises or report that abuse. So without researching that in detail, I would tell you that I think those statutes are valid.
Is it state or federal statute?
I believe it's state. Now, I'm sure that there are federal regulations that deal with that, but generally, the monitoring and the running of the schools is done by the states. And what happens is the federal government has regulations that they make sure that schools comply with in order to get additional federal funding. So, my guess is that we're talking about a state statute. Possibly a federal regulation, but the statute would be state.
Can I add one other thing?
Sure.
I travel now that I'm retired after 35 years of teaching into Costa Rica, Central America specifically. Mm-hmm. And if you look at a kid cross-eyed in Central America, you can get arrested.
Interesting. On what charge? Just for...
For, quote, maybe harassment or whatever the term maybe. I don't know what the legal term. I'm not a lawyer. I'm a school teacher.
A much more noble profession, I assure you.
Thank you, sir. Well, I appreciate your time.
And thank you for calling in, and thanks for listening to Camel X.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, it's interesting. There was a case at the Supreme Court, I think it was in 1968, called Pickering versus Board of Education. And in that case, and again, this is more of a free speech issue that I'm discussing here. But in that case, the teacher had sent a letter to the editor of the newspaper complaining about the school board. And when he did that, he got fired. And He challenged that firing, that termination of his employment, and he argued, hey, look, I was exercising my free speech. A school is an arm of the government, and they've punished me for my speech. And went all the way up to the Supreme Court, and I think it was Justice Thurgood Marshall who actually wrote the opinion stating that that was a violation of his rights. The government was squelching his free speech. On the other hand, when you've got on the flip side what's going on right now in Florida, which I think is still valid, the state law prevents teachers from teaching curricula based to kindergartens, kids, first grade, second grade, and I think third grade. It mandates that teachers are not allowed to teach curriculum regarding transgender issues. So, and everyone got outraged about that, but that's not squelching the free speech of the teachers. That's simply requiring and mandating what they can or cannot teach in the school. And at that point, if the teachers want to go out after the school day is over and protest the school and protest DeSantis, they're free to do that. That's their freedom of expression at work. But with regard to the curriculum that's taught, the teacher doesn't have a First Amendment right to determine the curriculum. Now, I know there's something called academic freedom, but academic freedom is not a legal right. Academic freedom is a concept that's at universities. Typically, universities is where you see that. So I just want to make sure that I point out those distinctions in the law. They're not based upon the content. In other words, one's not legal because, oh, it's somehow standing up against transgender. It's not the point. I mean, the state could pass a law that says that schools cannot teach curriculum discussing heterosexual marriages in kindergarten, first grade, second grade, or third grade. And that would be equally valid. So it's not the content of what's being squelched. It's it's directing what can be taught. And again, all of those teachers in Florida, they can go out and protest all they want to their heart's desire, and they probably do on social media, about how they think about the school, how they think about DeSantis, how they think about state law. They're free to do all of that, unencumbered by the state of Florida. Now, one of the things that I was talking with Professor Jacobson, and I really like Professor Jacobson. I go to his website every day, and I wasn't kidding when I said that. But what's interesting here is we were talking about this idea of collusion. And when you discuss this idea of collusion, there was a story that just came out today in the New York Post, which to me is outrageous, that demonstrates this level of collusion between the federal government and the media. And this is the story. Last year, GOP Senator Tim Scott, he wanted to write an op-ed piece for the New York Times, and he actually wrote it. And when he submitted it to the editor, the director of the editor page.
Whether it's a date night, a special event, or just another Tuesday, our over 800 stylists are here to help you look and feel your best. We're about personalized style that fits your life. Made for real life moments. Maurice's.
Possibility means you have a chance.
Passion opens the door to all possibilities.
When I feel like anything's possible, I feel kind of giddy.
I want to be an astronaut,
an artist,
an actress.
To visit another country.
All I need is a backpack and a pair of shoes and I'll find a way.
That I'm able to do anything I set my mind to.
I've never felt like more things are possible than right now.
In the right shoes, anything's possible.
DSW, countless shoes at bragworthy prices. Imagine the possibilities.
Hi, this is Javon, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow, a real person.
Yep, I'm here to help with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
Well, I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
We can also send you samples fast and free.
Wow, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, pressure, or hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over, and I'm thinking of something.
From free expert design help to our 100% satisfaction guarantee, everything we do is made to fit your life and your windows. Because at Blinds.com, the only thing we treat better than windows is you. Visit Blinds.com now for up to 40% off select styles, plus a professional measure at no cost. Rules and restrictions apply.
We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature. Whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to, or the succulents that adorn our homes, nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With AllTrails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently. With offline maps and on-trail navigation, download the free app today.
Meet Natural Cycles, the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app that's built around your body. The Natural Cycles app pinpoints your fertile days by tracking shifts in your temperature, so you can plan or prevent pregnancy naturally. It's easy to use. Simply take your temperature in the morning with our free Bluetooth thermometer included with our annual plan, or sync with your Oura Ring or Apple Watch. The app analyzes your data and tells you daily whether it's a fertile or non-fertile day. Natural Cycles is 93% effective with typical use and 98% effective with perfect use. But beyond effective birth control, the app helps you understand your body and cycle better than ever. And unlike some period tracking apps, Natural Cycles provides an advanced data protection program to keep your information private and secure. Ready to go hormone-free? Sign up for the Natural Cycles annual plan and get a free Bluetooth thermometer. Plus 15% off your subscription with the code RADIO15 at naturalcycles.com.
Wait. We're not talking about anything of any substance this evening. Just First Amendment rights, just the government colluding with billion-dollar corporations to stop your free speech. You know, nothing big, nothing important. Brad Young here with you on At Your Service. And Lee called up during the break. Hey, Lee, welcome to Camel X.
Thank you very much for taking my call.
My pleasure.
I am a public school teacher of some 35 years.
Thank you, sir.
Currently 74 years young, not like your name.
Well, see, I'll always be young.
Well, that's true. So will I, then. My father said you count backwards when you hit 39.
Oh, well, my wife does the same thing, but go ahead.
Anyway, I was just wondering if I had any rights as a public school teacher and if I was mandated to report bruises on a child that I seen in school as a state law.
Yeah, that is an interesting idea. There are limitations on teachers in school. And for example, and I know this is not what you're calling about, but there are some limitations on what teachers can or cannot say during the school day. But there's no limitations from a speech perspective outside of the school. So there are some restrictions, but they're not complete. Now, when it comes to those mandatory reporting, I do know that that is mandated by state law. And I'm not aware of any challenges, Lee, to those statutes, those mandatory reporting statutes, because that's not something that you have the freedom to do. In other words, if you see a bruise on a student, it is within the purview of the legislature to mandate that you report those bruises or report that abuse. So without researching that in detail, I would tell you that I think those statutes are valid.
Is it state or federal statute?
I believe it's state. Now, I'm sure that there are federal regulations that deal with that, but generally, the monitoring and the running of the schools is done by the states. And what happens is the federal government has regulations that they make sure that schools comply with in order to get additional federal funding. So my guess is that we're talking about a state statute, possibly a federal regulation, but the statute would be state.
Can I add one other thing?
Sure.
I travel now that I'm retired after 35 years of teaching in the Costa Rica, Central America specifically. Mm-hmm. And if you look at a kid cross-eyed in Central America, you can get arrested.
Interesting. On what charge? Just for?
For, quote, maybe harassment, whatever okay. The term may be. I don't know what the legal term. I'm not a lawyer. I'm a school teacher.
A much more noble profession, I assure you.
Thank you, sir. Well, I appreciate your time.
And thank you for calling in, and thanks for listening to Camel X.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, it's interesting. There was a case at the Supreme Court, I think it was in 1968, called Pickering versus Board of Education. And in that case, and again, this is more of a free speech issue that I'm discussing here, but in that case, the teacher had sent a letter to the editor of the newspaper complaining about the school board. And when he did that, he got fired. And he challenged that firing, that termination of his employment. And he argued, hey, look, I was exercising my free speech. A school is an arm of the government, and they've punished me for my speech. And went all the way up to the Supreme Court. And I think it was Justice Thurgood Marshall who actually wrote the opinion stating that that was a violation of his rights. The government was squelching his free speech. On the other hand, when you've got on the flip side what's going on right now in Florida, which I think is still valid, the state law prevents teachers from teaching curricula based to kindergartens, kids, first grade, second grade, and I think third grade. It mandates that teachers are not allowed to teach curriculum regarding transgender issues. So, and everyone got outraged about that, but that's not squelching the free speech of the teachers. That's simply requiring and mandating what they can or cannot teach in the school. And at that point, if the teachers want to go out after the school day is over and protest the school and protest DeSantis, they're free to do that. That's their freedom of expression at work. But with regard to the curriculum that's taught, the teacher doesn't have a First Amendment right to determine the curriculum. Now, I know there's something called academic freedom, but academic freedom is not a legal right. Academic freedom is a concept that's at universities. Typically, universities is where you see that. So I just want to make sure that I point out those distinctions in the law. They're not based upon the content. In other words, one's not legal because, it's somehow standing up against transgender. It's not the point. I mean, the state could pass a law that says that schools cannot teach curriculum discussing heterosexual marriages in kindergarten, first grade, second grade, or third grade. And that would be equally valid. So it's not the content of what's being squelched. It's directing what can be taught. And again, all of those teachers in Florida, they can go out and protest all they want to their heart's desire, and they probably do on social media, about how they think about the school, how they think about DeSantis, how they think about state law. They're free to do all of that, unencumbered by the state of Florida. Now, one of the things that I was talking with Professor Jacobson, and I really like Professor Jacobson, I go to his website every day, and I wasn't kidding when I said that. But what's interesting here is we were talking about this idea of collusion. And when you discuss this idea of collusion, there was a story that just came out today in the New York Post, which to me is outrageous, that demonstrates this level of collusion between the federal government and the media. And this is the story. Last year, GOP Senator Tim Scott, he wanted to write an op-ed piece for the New York Times, and he actually wrote it. And when he submitted it to the editor, the director of the editor page, the editor was told by the editor-in-chief that, and I'm not kidding, this is from a woman named Barry Weiss, who resigned from the New York Times 2 years ago because she was bullied because she wasn't liberal enough. She was a liberal, but she wasn't liberal enough. And so she was fired. But she said today that before they could run that op-ed piece by Senator Tim Scott, she was told by newspaper management that they had to get the permission of New York Senator Chuck Schumer before they could actually run an op-ed piece. Now, let that sink in for a moment. A newspaper that directs the editorial page editor that you have to get the permission of a senator, a U.S. senator, before you can run an op-ed piece in a newspaper? I mean, if you want to talk about collusion, folks, that That is collusion in a nutshell. And I wouldn't care if you flip the issue and said, well, the New York Post wouldn't run it unless they got Rand Paul's permission. I would have the same reaction, that that's wrong. So it's not a reaction based on the politics of the person. It's a reaction based upon collusion with the government. And you want to talk about collusion with the government? Go to Russia right now and try to find out how the war is going in Ukraine. If you want to see what happens when the government controls the media, go to North Korea right now and see what the media reports about the living standards in North Korea. They're not reporting in North Korean media that people are eating dogs because they're starving to death. They're not going to report that. So anytime you have that collusion between government and the media, it's a recipe for disaster. And I just see that happening, and that's why I applaud State Senator Schmidt for filing that lawsuit. Hey, we've got more at your service tonight. We'll be back right after this. Welcome back to At Your Service. Hey, next hour, you're going to want to stick around for this because I'm going to dig deeply into this whole search warrant situation at Mar-a-Lago and talk about not the opinions that you would hear somewhere else, because I'm not going to castigate the FBI and I'm not going to rail on this is outrageous. I'm going to go through the legal issues that we're going to be seeing, that how this will be challenged, what may be the outcome, those types of issues, because to me, that's the real meat and potatoes of this issue. It's unprecedented, but we're going to break some of that down in the next hour. Also, if you've heard about the Inflation Reduction Act, really it should be called the IRS Full Employment Act is what it should be called, because of the IRS agents that are going to be hired. So I'll be going through all that in the next hour, and hopefully you will be a part of the show as well. Matt Pajeski, I want to pick on you for a second. Jurassic Park, that's one of my all-time favorite movies, the original. I like the one that just came out because it brought... Did you see the most recent one?
I've seen all of them.
You've seen all of them, yeah. Yep. Thumbs up, thumbs down?
Thumbs up.
Yeah. You had to pause, like, not great?
Well, it wasn't my favorite of the newest ones, and I don't think any of the newest trilogy of movies, I don't think any of those beat the originals, but it's fun, it's good. It's not like a great wow movie, but yeah, it's good for what it is.
Well, the first one came out, and Michael Crichton was always one of my favorite authors. I read every book that he wrote, and so I'd already read Jurassic Park when the movie came out. So the movie comes out, but I'm sitting in the theater. And when I first saw, and this is going to mean nothing to you because you're 20 something and you've got, you know, special effects, you've seen them your entire life. It's yawn, no big deal. But listen, those special effects in 1992 were amazing.
I bet.
Because we'd never seen anything like that before. Okay. But when you watch Jurassic Park, even specifically the first one, does that seem like that tech that they talk about? Does that seem like that's something that we could actually do?
Nowadays, it seems like it's like we're getting closer to something like that. I hope we have the morality not to do that, but I'm not so sure.
Yeah, I'm just thinking of Jeff Goldblum saying, "You spent so much time thinking if you could that you didn't stop to think if we should."
Right.
Now, I wish I could do a Jeff Goldblum impression, but
dinosaurs.
I can't. Dinosaurs. Yeah, adding an extra... extra letters in there. But the reason why I'm asking you this, and I've got a follow-up question for you in just a second, but there's a startup, as a Texas startup company. I don't know how they're going to make money on this, but they're using genetic engineering, and they promise, the CEO promises, of course, I'm sure it's a promise made to his investors, but he's promising that within 6 years from now, by the end of 2028, that we will have an actual live woolly mammoth, because they got cells from woolly mammoths, and the woolly mammoth, the last living woolly mammoth, walked the earth 4,000 years ago. So they've got it frozen in the Siberian tundra, and this startup company in Texas promises to have one. They're going to implant it in an Asian elephant. They're going to fix the DNA. If there's any problems with the DNA, they're going to supplant it with Asian elephant DNA. And they're going to have it alive and walking the earth in 2028. Good idea, bad idea?
Well, My initial thought is bad idea, but it's not a T-Rex. It's not a Velociraptor, so maybe it's not that bad of an idea.
The Indominus.
Yeah,
exactly. We're gonna make something up.
I don't know how fearsome or ferocious a woolly mammoth is, but as long as they take care of it and are nice to it and, you know, take the proper precautions, maybe it'd be something doable.
Well, I've got a prediction. Now, you're going to say I'm just saying this to be silly, but I'm not, because I know human nature. And I grew up in Southern Illinois, and when I was growing up in Southern Illinois, one of the things I liked to do was to shoot groundhogs, just for fun, okay? Because they would mess with farmers. Farmers hated them. They would tear up a field. I needed shooting practice, so I would shoot groundhogs. Until one of my buddies said, "Did you ever eat a groundhog?" And I said, "No. Why would I want to eat a groundhog?" "I don't know. You shot it. You killed it. You got to eat it." I'm predicting that when these woolly mammoths start walking the earth, someone's going to want to eat one.
Yeah.
Just to say, "I ate a woolly mammoth." Would you eat a woolly mammoth?
Boy, if it was barbecued or smoked and it had the right amount of barbecue sauce on it, then maybe. I have to think about it.
Well, I'm sitting here thinking about this today when I was reading this, and I could see how the arguments would go that, well, I bet you woolly mammoth meat, the meat might be low in fat and probably high in omega-3 or omega-6, and so it's really good for a person on a low cholesterol diet. I'm just, whenever this happens, and you'll be on to greater things, but I want you to think, when that woolly mammoth is walking the tundra, somebody's going to start thinking about how can we make these and sell them at a woolly mammoth steakhouse.
That would be part of a paleo diet, if you think about it.
A paleo diet. Exactly, the caveman diet.
Yep.
Oh, you could so see that. And, and of course, I know the reaction is, no, we can't eat this. It's a woolly mammoth. But I love going to Cyberg's, and I love getting shark. They got shark chunks.
Shark's good. I love
those things. And so there's a certain innate quality, I think, in people that says, we're going to conquer this. We got to eat them. We're going to conquer them. We're going to have to eat them. I'm just promising you, put it on your calendar. It will happen. Oh, great music. Great music, Matt, to lead out the show this evening. Hey, we've got more next hour on the Mar-a-Lago Raid, and hopefully more from you. 314-436-7900 on the Voice of St. Louis, KMOX. Welcome back to At Your Service. Hey, next hour, you're going to want to stick around for this, because I'm going to dig deeply into this whole search warrant situation at Mar-a-Lago and talk about not the opinions that you would hear somewhere else, because I'm not going to castigate the FBI and I'm not going to rail on this is outrageous. I'm going to go through the legal issues that we're going to be seeing, that how this will be challenged, what may be the outcome, those types of issues, because to me, that's the real meat and potatoes of this issue. It's unprecedented, but we're going to break some of that down in the next hour. Also, if you've heard about the Inflation Reduction Act, really it should be called the IRS Full Employment Act is what it should be called, because of the IRS agents that are going to be hired. So I'll be going through all that in the next hour, and hopefully you will be a part of the show as well. Well, Matt Pajeski, I want to pick on you for a second. Jurassic Park, that's one of my all-time favorite movies, the original. I like the one that just came out because it brought... Did you see the most recent one?
I've seen all of them.
You've seen all of them, yeah. Yep. Thumbs up, thumbs down?
Thumbs up.
Yeah. You had to pause, like, not great?
Well, it wasn't my favorite of the newest ones, and I don't think any of the newest trilogy of movies, I don't think any of those beat the originals, but it's fun. It's good. It's not like a great wow movie, but yeah, it's good for what it is.
Well, the first one came out, and Michael Crichton was always one of my favorite authors. I read every book that he wrote. And so I'd already read Jurassic Park when the movie came out. So the movie comes out, but I'm sitting in the theater. And when I first saw, and this is going to mean nothing to you because you're 20 something and you've got, you know, special effects, you've seen them your entire life. It's yawn, no big deal. But listen, those special effects in 1992 were amazing.
I bet.
Because we'd never seen anything like that before. Okay. But when you watch Jurassic Park, even specifically the first one, does that seem like that tech that they talk about Does that seem like that's something that we could actually do?
Nowadays, it seems like it's like we're getting closer to something like that. I hope we have the morality not to do that, but I'm not so sure.
Yeah, I'm just thinking of Jeff Goldblum saying, "You spent so much time thinking if you could that you didn't stop to think if we should."
Right.
Now, I wish I could do a Jeff Goldblum impression, but
dinosaurs.
I can't. Dinosaurs. Yeah, adding an extra extra letters in there. But the reason why I'm asking you this, and I've got a follow-up question for you in just a second, but there's a startup, as a Texas startup company. I don't know how they're going to make money on this, but they're using genetic engineering, and they promise, the CEO promises, of course, I'm sure it's a promise made to his investors, but he's promising that within 6 years from now, by the end of 2028, that we will have an actual live woolly mammoth because they've got genetic, they got cells from woolly mammoths. And the woolly mammoth, the last living woolly mammoth, walked the earth 4,000 years ago. So they've got it frozen in this, in the Siberian tundra. And they're, this tech company, the startup company in Texas, promises to have one. They're going to implant it in an Asian elephant. They're going to fix the DNA. If there's any problems with the DNA, they're going to supplant it with Asian elephant DNA. And they're going to have it alive and walking the earth in 2028. Good idea, bad idea?
Well, my initial thought is bad idea, but it's not a T-Rex. It's not a Velociraptor, so maybe it's not that bad of an idea.
The Indominus.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't know, something up.
I don't know how fearsome or ferocious a woolly mammoth is, but as long as they take care of it and are nice to it and, you know, take the proper precautions, maybe it'd be something doable.
Well, I've got a prediction. Now, you're going to say I'm just saying this to be silly, but I'm not, because I know human nature. And I grew up in Southern Illinois, and when I was growing up in Southern Illinois, one of the things I liked to do was to shoot groundhogs, just for fun, okay? Because they would mess with farmers. Farmers hated them. They would tear up a field. I needed shooting practice, so I would shoot groundhogs. Until one of my buddies said, "Did you ever eat a groundhog?" And I said, "No. Why would I want to eat a groundhog?" "I don't know. You shot it. You killed it. You got to eat it." I'm predicting that when these woolly mammoths start walking the earth, someone's going to want to eat one.
Yeah.
Just to say, "I ate a woolly mammoth." Would you eat a woolly mammoth?
Boy, if it was barbecued or smoked and it had the right amount of barbecue sauce on it, then maybe. I have to think about it.
Well, I'm sitting here thinking about this today when I was reading this, and I could see how the arguments would go that, well, I bet you woolly mammoth meat, the meat might be low in fat and probably high in omega-3 or omega-6, and so it's really good for a person on a low cholesterol diet. Whenever this happens, and you'll be on to greater things, but I want you to think, when that woolly mammoth is walking the tundra, somebody's going to start thinking about how can we make these and sell them at a woolly mammoth steakhouse.
That would be part of a paleo diet, if you think about it.
A paleo diet. Exactly, the caveman diet.
Yeah.
Oh, you could so see that. And of course, I know the reaction is, "No, we can't eat this. It's a woolly mammoth." But I love going to Cyberg's, and I love getting shark. They got shark chunks.
Shark's good. I love
those things. And so there's a certain innate quality, I think, in people that says, we're going to conquer this. We got to eat them. We're going to conquer them. We're going to have to eat them. I'm just promising you, put it on your calendar. It will happen. Oh, great music. Great music, Matt, to lead out the show this evening. Hey, we've got more next hour on the Mar-a-Lago raid, and hopefully more from you. 314-436-7900 on the Voice of St. Louis, KMOX.
Honestly, I wasn't sure we could pull this off ourselves.
You had the vision, and Blinds.com brought your dreams to life.
Yeah, their custom window treatments and free design consultation. Total game changer. Ava walked us through everything. Styles, colors, what would work best in this space.
And we didn't have to leave the house. Free samples showed up fast, and they made it super easy to compare and choose.
Right? Plus, no high-pressure sales pitch, just smart guidance. And the install? I thought it'd be tricky, but Blinds.com instructions were clear. Everything fits perfectly.
And thanks to their SureFit guarantee, if something doesn't fit, they remake it for free.
talk about peace of mind.
And it costs way less than having a designer to our house or going to one of those overpriced showrooms.
We saved money, got the exact look we wanted, and we did it ourselves.
We did it.
So, kitchen windows next?
Blinds.com makes buying and installing window treatments easy and affordable because nobody covers windows better than Blinds.com. Visit Blinds.com now for up to 40% off select styles, plus a professional measure at no cost. Rules and restrictions apply.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
No matter why your clients give, their donations can do so much more with a donor-advised fund from DAF Giving 360. They can donate cash, publicly traded securities, or other non-cash assets like real estate and even crypto, while recommending grants at any time. DAF Giving 360 can offer you over 25 years of expertise, bringing donors, financial advisors, and charities together to make a greater impact. Learn more at dafgiving360.org/advisors.
When New Yorkers buy a place with StreetEasy, they have the local expertise they need to stay in the city. When they buy outside the city, they have regrets.
The only way to fix this place would be to move it back to Brooklyn.
When it's time to buy, let StreetEasy connect you with the agent you need to never leave. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. StreetEasy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Did you know your credit card points and miles can lose value to inflation while they collect dust? Credit card companies often reduce the redemption value of your points and miles. Imagine a credit card with rewards that can grow in value. With a Gemini credit card, you can earn Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos instantly with no annual fee. Every swipe at the store or gas pump earns you instant rewards deposited straight to your account. Plus, sign up now for a $200 Bitcoin bonus. To kickstart your rewards, visit Gemini.com/card today. Again, if you're looking to invest in Bitcoin but don't know where to start, the Gemini credit card makes it easy. Issued by WebBank, in order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must be approved by June 30th, 2025 and spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other Gemini credit card terms, see rates and fees.